Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Three cheers for His Majesty the King.
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And as always, a few reminders, follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. Also, send us an email. The email address is info@gallerypodcasts.com. We love hearing from our listeners. We have a great one coming up. Rachel, I'm so excited to go over the royal news this week. There's a lot going on.
So many fun things, too. I feel like we have a lot to talk about. I'll give a quick preview. We're talking about Harry and Meghan back on the scene. We've got Polo, two new Netflix deals, the first American Riviera Orchard, I will learn to say that faster, product drop, which is really exciting. We've also got William headed back to work this week. Camilla popped out too. This is sort of a choose your own adventure, but we've also got the Obamas, Phil Dunster, and James Middleton all popping up in the next half hour of this episode.
That's the best choose your own adventure I've ever heard of.
And Times Square, we're going to talk about that. We got to see each other under the big lights of the big city last week.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
But first, we always leave time for a royal refreshment. And we actually got some lovely listeners who wanted to know where we were having afternoon tea after checking out our billboard in Times Square. So Rachel and I went to the Crosby Hotel for their afternoon tea service. And I give it 5 stars. What about you?
Yes, it was so beautiful and laid back and just a delightful environment. And we actually got to work from there because we were early, too, after the Times Square meetup. And just the spaces at that hotel are so unique and colorful.
Yeah, it was very artsy in there, which I liked. It wasn't your traditional plaza tea room, but it was so, so stunning nonetheless. And I had a glass of sparkling rosé, which was delicious.
I was going to say, that's our royal refreshment for everyone to drink this week. We drank Veuve Clicquot, which was quite fancy as part of the prefix there, which is amazing.
Followed by oolong tea and some scones. Those were the best scones I've ever had, actually. So go for the scones. Stay for the tea.
I know. And I tried to bring some of them home and they weren't as good as they were in person. I think I needed more of the clotted cream to go.
I ate my leftover desserts on the bus ride home to Philly because I had to take the bus. It was a last-minute booking, so the train was not an option. But it was so much fun.
And we had such a full day because we have to talk about the Times Square billboard. That was so exciting to go and see that in person together. And shout out to my friend Anna Gambuto, who snapped our photo. Judy, our producer, was there as well. And it was just kind of this real moment. The crowds didn't part for us, but we made them part and celebrated the occasion. Thank you to Amazon Music.
My favorite memory of the day will be Rachel telling a tourist to move out of the way of our picture.
Anything for the photo. I'm like not that person, but it was right. I mean, it flashes so briefly that
10
it was
seconds.
Like, so we needed Once an to, hour. We had this one photo op moment and we nailed it. But I just had to delicately, not so delicately, nicely say, move.
As one does in Times Square. Big shout out to Amazon Music. It was our 200th episode not too long ago. And it's also this month will be 4 years of doing the podcast together. So just a huge celebration all around.
4 years of gazing at you once a week and many much more than once a week. But lucky at me and us that we get to do that.
Aren't you sick of me yet?
Not ever, Roberta. Not possible in this lifetime. Wait, while we're on the subject, can I just quickly detour and ask, because I haven't asked you in a while about your wedding and I want to know any updates. What's the latest?
Okay, I do have something exciting to share. It's not anything big, but we did look at some venues recently and we love them all, actually, which is
That's a really nice problem to have.
It is. But one of them I wanted to tell you about was recently, and it was the Historical Society of Pennsylvania. If anyone lives in Philadelphia or the surrounding area, definitely go check it out because they have so many cool artifacts. It's basically like a library. And people who get married there, they have the option of like selecting documents that they want to be displayed behind glass that their guests can like check out during cocktail hour or as they're like mingling, sipping on drinks, whatever, which is a really cool idea and very unique. But the documents that they pulled out for me to see, I said, they said, like, what are your interests? And I, of course, mentioned the royals and the royal family. And they said, oh, we have some royal signatures. So what? I went into the vault of the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, which has like the first handwritten copy of the Constitution, like all of these incredible, incredible artifacts. And they pulled out, I'm pulling it up on my phone, this document, which is the signature of Elizabeth I from like 1590 or something, or 1603 maybe is the date. But it's her, it's incredible. And they like showed it to me, like I could have held it. And there were a bunch of other royal signatures. There's like Henry VII, Henry VIII they have.
Oh my gosh. So your guests could have that on display if you choose this venue?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That is amazing. Roberta, that's so cool. Do you feel like you're narrowing your search or no?
I do. I do feel like okay. We're narrowing our search, but we still have a long way to go, I think, because I don't want to get married for quite a while. So like sometime next year.
But even just knowing that Philly is the location is huge as a decision, right?
It's kind of really funny in terms of like our work that we do here on the pod, just because it's the city that was the one to cast off the royal family. But I love that about it. I love all of it. So yeah, it's just, and it's got a lot of history and it's a really beautiful city and we love living here. So yeah, if it all works out, then yes, we will be married.
We're going to need like a weekly segment as you get closer. That's just like wedding updates from Roberta. We'll get like a little music piped in and something like that. As you get closer, no pressure right now.
Canon and D major. Yeah, I feel like I'll annoy a lot of listeners probably, but some people are interested. I've gotten some DMs, so it's really nice to hear from you.
I love hearing it.
Maybe a monthly segment, and then I can fill you in without spoiling any surprises, of course, because you'll be there, Rachel.
The event of the year.
Yeah. Okay.
Of the decade.
Ooh, I love that little Brooklyn.
Actually, yeah, you just got a little Brooklyn ambiance. They were like, here, here. Yeah, yeah.
They agreed with you. All right. Our listener email this week, a lovely letter from Allie in Alabama. She writes in, ladies, longtime listener and longtime lover of Rachel and Roberta, the absolute best hosts. I take a work from home walk every Thursday to listen to each episode. I feel like each week I listen, I'm right there with you guys watching Finn grow up and can't wait for Roberta's upcoming wedding celebrations. Oh, my God. Did we plant this?
No, just kidding.
She says, I waited to hear the highs and lows from last week's episode before I reached out to you to share my personal high, the warm and wonderful AFC Wimbledon soccer jersey in support of War Child UK. Absolutely obsessed with the collaboration and love that they had Phil Dunster help promote it. We love a Ted Lasso crossover. Would love to hear your thoughts on this on an upcoming episode. I'm planning my first ever trip across the pond in May, and I cannot wait. I plan to utilize all of your royal recommendations. Keep up the stellar work, ladies. And she signed off, your Southern Roro. Love that. Rachel, did you see this?
I did not.
Saw it and forgot immediately.
I didn't see it at all, and I'm so, so grateful that Allie wrote us about this because I may have missed it.
I know. I completely forgot after I scrolled past. And Phil Dunster, by the way, is Jamie from Ted Lasso, and he's sporting this warm and wonderful jersey with all the sheep on it, with the one black sheep. And it's amazing. They have these jerseys for sale. You can also bid on the ones that are Phil Dunster signed, and some other big soccer names have signed other jerseys. So it's just the crossover we always wanted, the Royals and Ted Lasso.
I mean, it's amazing. Have I told you that we are detouring to Richmond while we're in London next week to go and do the Ted Lasso tour that you and I really wanted to do while we were there, but just
I'm
ran
so
out of time.
Happy.
But we're definitely going to make the time. I mean, I feel like it's just like an easy thing to do as a family, and we'll just go and do hopefully like a Sunday roast around there too.
And Matt will love it and Finn will love it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I hope. Well, I will make sure that they do. Matt will. I don't know if Finn. As long as there's mac and cheese somewhere, he'll be happy.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. And you leave when? When do you leave for your trip?
We leave on Monday, which also just has felt like a really game-changing move from adulthood, because we're not trying to race out the door to catch a flight on Friday night at the end of a work week. To have the weekend to pack and organize my thoughts and find those like cord converters and all of that stuff, I feel like is making my brain feel calm.
Yeah, to have the whole weekend to kind of pack and get ready is awesome. That's such a smart move.
Now, this week in royal history.
All right, well, moving on. This Week in Royal History, this is kind of a fun one. We're flashing back to April 22nd, 2016, when Kate, William, and Harry welcomed the Obamas to Kensington Palace. The weather was bad, if you recall, Roberta. There were several fun and kind of delightful umbrella shots outside. I included a link here if you need to flash back. Also, the most memorable part was Prince George and the shots inside in his little bathrobe. And he was only 3, I had to look up. I can't. It was so delightful and cute and really set the vibe, I think, for the occasion. You know, I really think he made it like he was formal and dignified, but he was also a 3-year-old dressed in a bathrobe that was delightful.
It will forever be one of my favorite shots of the royals ever.
Yes,
period.
Yes. So the Obamas joined William, Kate, and Harry for dinner at Kensington Palace, and this was right after they had had lunch at Windsor Castle with Queen Elizabeth II and Philip. Apparently, they traveled by helicopter to, they were there in the UK for a 3-day visit, and they touched down near Windsor, and Prince Philip chauffeured them to the castle himself. He didn't have a driver. It was Philip driving the Obamas, which is so impressive and fun and speaks to Philip's personality too. The context that we always like to give is that Charlotte at this time was just about to turn 1. Brexit conversations were in full swing. This was also the Obamas' final trip to the UK as president. I feel like flashing back to 2016, we were on the cusp of those November elections. And here we are again, getting ready for another set of November elections.
Jeez.
Deep breaths.
Yeah.
Also, this wasn't the first meeting that William and Kate had with the Obamas. If you'll recall, they had welcomed them to Buckingham Palace in the year after their wedding in 2012. I think that was also defined by Kate's fashion, the Reese dress that was kind of a beige neutral color that sold out instantly. And remember, this was kind of the dawn of the royal fashion impact going on, where Instagram was coming into play and you could buy what she was wearing immediately.
Oh my gosh, Michelle's outfit, the
everything,
cropped
yes.
bolero hot pink jacket is like to die.
It's to die for. Yes. These meetups were fantastic to see the images from. And Harry, also, for his part, he was close with the Obamas and continues to be, I believe. And we know that about William and Kate, too. They continue to stay in touch with the Obamas. But Harry had been to D.C. in 2015 to talk about the Invictus Games, met with military families with Michelle. The Invictus Games had launched in 2014. So they just really probably had a ton to discuss at that dinner. And again, going back to George, I like the informality that comes through in the photos. You know, I think when kids are involved, it sets a tone. And it was intimate to have a small group.
Yeah. And it just seemed like, well, Obama's just one of those presidents, I feel like, that was such a charmer in every meeting that he had with the royals.
That's cool.
I know we talked with David Charter about his book Royal Audience. And yeah, it just seemed like he was a royal favorite for sure.
Yeah, I miss them, you know, and I think thinking of this particular occasion, how that was the end of his, I was going to say reign, but not his reign, his presidency in the U.S. I did also, to talk about Kate's fashion, I remember really loving her L.K. Bennett blue dress that she wore at the time for this meet and greet. She just looked so stunning. And it was, I think it was kind of like various shades of blue. So it really picked up, the cameras picked it up well. But yeah, I think also these moments when you flash back and see Harry, William, and Kate united and doing something together, it really underscores the loss continually. We say this all the time, of what the Wales and Sussexes together would have been.
Perfect segue, because we are going to talk a lot about the Sussexes in the news this week. So the Sussexes had a very busy few days, a weekend full of polo, plus an announcement about 2 new shows from them, and also the first American Riviera drop, ? I think we should talk about that first, because American Riviera Orchard, everything's coming up. Jam, or are these just the promo gift baskets? You and I went back and forth on this. Is it really going to be this jam, or is this just the gift basket to hype people up? I'm not sure.
And I'm very stressed about just the limited nature of these things. Like, what will it be like? We already know how it feels when we try to grab a dress that Meghan wears or Kate wears or one of the royals wears, mm-hmm. and or, you know, a purse or whatever it is. It sells out immediately. But if there's like one of 50 of these jams, like,
I know.
I give up now. I throw in the towel. But maybe this was just, you know, this is the launch. But how will it work? I have so many questions.
And did our gift baskets get lost in the mail? I'm confused.
I'm assuming.
I have problems with mail, so that's probably why.
You do. That's definitely what happened, Roberta.
People leave things on my doorstep and I never get them, so it's fine. But Tracy Robbins, the fashion designer who we did see with Meghan and Harry in Jamaica for that Bob Marley movie premiere, she's married to the CEO of Paramount. She was one of the first to post about this gift basket from American Riviera Orchard, also Delphina Blackour, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Hashtag PWives, Polo Wives. She's wife to Nacho Figueres, who's the polo player. She also posted about this on her Instagram stories. The jars are numbered, like you mentioned. They both got numbers 10 and 17 out of 50. You're right. That's going to sell out so fast. Like, this is going to be crazy.
There has to be a bigger drop, but how will American Riviera Orchard manage mass production? Is that even what they're doing? I don't know. How will any of this work? I just want to know the mechanics. And I do think it's imminent, Roberta, that we will see this drop.
Well, I was wondering too if these numbers that she wrote on the labels are like sort of an Easter egg. Like, is the 17th when we'll see it? That would be today, actually. So there's no chance. But I don't know. I'm just curious if like someone's going to post like this is jar, you know, 25 of 50. And it's like, okay, April 25th. I don't know. Now I'm reading too into it like Taylor Swift fans do with all of her albums, which is dropping Friday.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like, because we know their attention to dates and sort of meaning behind when these launches happen. And I am at a loss right now as what that timing will be. I'm thinking of, there's a lot of May occasions, but I can't think of what this would be.
And I do think if the goal was to drive hype, they've definitely done that, because I think now it's like we realize that there might be limited supply. So Meghan is a master businesswoman already. I also like that they were presented in baskets of lemons.
So photogenic.
And also this notion of like maybe Meghan felt like she was dealt lemons and now she's made lemonade or jam. Oh. It's just kind of an interesting little like symbolic thing to me.
On that note, I did really like a push notification headline from the Telegraph, an op-ed today that said better to make jam than trouble, like kind of giving them an endorsement of their choices. But I was like, whoa, that is a cover line. That is certainly a statement.
That's hilarious, right?
That's not how this crew feels, but it's just funny.
Well, we saw the Sussexes pop up this weekend for polo in Wellington, Florida. That's home of the U.S. Open Polo Championship. They supposedly stayed at the ritzy Four Seasons Hotel in Palm Beach. Gorgeous hotel. I just feel like I was recently in Palm Beach. I was thinking that.
Yeah, you're familiar. Do you know this locale? Like, have you?
We actually stayed at the PGA Hotel, is what I think it's called, or the resort. And it was also beautiful. Palm Beach is just stunning. You know, we're both watching Palm Royale. And so it's just like,
yes.
I feel like all of that is just on the mind lately.
Also, I noticed Delphina went in, you know, when I was tapping through her Instagram stories about to find the ARO product drop, I did see that she was also singing the praises of Palm Royale. So I'm now have this visual of Meghan and her watching it together. I really hope like after the polo match or something, but she was like, is anyone watching this show? So I think that's really fun.
Speaking of Delphina and Meghan, this is like the best friendship. I feel like they're very close. All those shots of Meghan hugging their daughter Alba, it seems really sweet. Meghan's like an aunt to her. It seems like there's Nacho and Harry's relationship too, which a part of me just feels like that's sort of the stand-in for William. Not to say that it, I mean, it can't possibly be, but it's just like having a brotherly best friend figure there for him. I'm sure that's got to feel, you know, like there's just a closeness there that he might not have had with William for a long time. Also, yeah. Serena Williams showed up at this polo match. That was really fun to see. Meghan wore that stunning linen dress with sunglasses by California-based brand Heidi Merrick. I got a few texts saying that I needed to buy the dress for future bridal shower events.
That's a really good idea.
It's sold out. I know. It's stunning.
It's sold out? No.
It's just such a beautiful cream color, and it has that big bow on the back. It feels sort of bridal.
The bow is what did it for me. Yes. But I have to say I was really surprised by some of the reactions to it, because I did see people criticizing how she looked in it. But I feel like no matter, I really thought that this was one of her best looks of all time. I loved it. When I saw it was so striking, and with the sunglasses, and it you're right, the bow, it's beautiful.
I was really confused though. I kept thinking it was a jumpsuit, because I thought that the way that the seams on the bottom of the skirt looked, I thought that it was pant legs, which I still would have loved, like wide leg jumpsuit, but I did like it either way. Did you see this though about this photo debacle? Megan was trying to like kind of organize this shot at the end when they're holding the trophy up on the stage, and a woman who came up on the stage to take pictures with them, she was not standing in the right place, Megan thought, and so was trying to organize her to be more in the middle, and Megan was next to Harry. And it was sort of this thing that played out a lot in the press. The headlines are awful about Megan bossing around someone or bullying someone to not be next to Harry. It's really a shame. The video, I feel like it's a very normal thing to do when you are just trying to have a group photo with a lot of people who aren't really paying attention to the logistics of it. Megan and Harry are pros at this point. They know what looks good.
Yeah. I will say also that polo kiss, and I loved anyone that posted on the internet juxtaposed with other royal polo kisses. I just thought that that was so fairy tale like for me.
And they were joined by a Netflix camera crew, which brings me to my final update about the Sussexes, which is that they announced last week they have two new shows in the works. One is with Meghan to celebrate the joys of cooking, gardening, entertaining, and friendship. And there's also one about polo. So the lifestyle show is what immediately perked my ears. I'm very excited about this. Immediately got Selena and Chef vibes from it. And it's the same showrunner. Leah Harrington is the showrunner for that Selena Gomez show, and she will be showrunning this production with Meghan. Also a producer from Anthony Bourdain. Parts Unknown. So this is going to be an exciting show. I can't wait to watch.
Well, Megan, do you think she's going to be in front of the camera and behind the scenes or just behind the scene?
Deadline said that the Duchess is starring in this show.
Oh, wow.
Let me pull up the exact quote. The series will see the Duchess celebrate the joys of... So the whole quote is the series will see the Duchess celebrate the joys of cooking, gardening, and friendship.
That's where I feel like I can't tell. I can't tell if we will see her as the host or it will be popping in or how it will work.
Yeah, I think we will. Just because of the showrunner Selena and Chef going on, I think that this is a pretty big production.
And I love Selena and Chef. I love those. I think that that show is great.
And then the other one is, of course, that polo show that I mentioned. It's the same showrunner as Welcome to Wrexham, which I know that you like. So that'll be another one as well. And Netflix has come up with a lot of these really behind the scenes shows of sports. I feel like whenever it comes to sports, I'm speechless. But like Formula One, I think they did one where it was a look behind the scenes of that you don't get to see how much goes into the preparation for. It seems like it's just a very aesthetic sport on the outside. But when you really dig in, it's so much athleticism. So I'm excited to see that as well.
Yeah, me too. Do you think that a lot of launches are going to happen when we're off next week? I'm really scared for that because that seems to be what just our plight in life tends to be.
If it does. Am I just going to be texting you like pictures of Jam and like Netflix shows?
If it does, I'm saying it here. We just hop on WhatsApp and we just make something happen.
We'll record a mini bonus episode that's like our reaction.
Yes, yes, definitely. All right. Well, moving on, we have some William updates. This is the first that he's kind of been popping up in headlines since Kate revealed that she has cancer. The biggest news is that William is back to work this week with two engagements on Thursday, first at a food redistribution center in Surrey, then at a youth center in West London. Of course, that exactly misses our episode release date, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him appear tomorrow and kind of get back to work. The kids are back to school today, April 17th, officially at Lanbrook. I think that my, you know, assessment or whatever it's worth is that it might feel good to return to routine for him at this point and not escape, but just to be able to really immerse yourself in work and causes that he very much cares about.
Yeah, like a distraction almost. I feel like it is nice to sink yourself into something that's not so probably anxiety inducing.
Yeah, absolutely. His last public engagement, though, was March 19th, which is almost a month exactly ago, which is really kind of crazy. He has had some space and time, which I hope has been really good for the family. I think that they really deserve that, and I'm happy that they were granted that finally. It is interesting. This got me thinking. The cause of food waste is very near and dear to William's heart, of course. It ladders up to Earthshot and a lot of the finalists that, you know, he rewards through that program and initiative. But Cape Town is coming up. I mean, I know it's only April, but that's in November this year, the next Earthshot Awards. I just feel like I can't even wrap my head around a normal royal calendar at this point with everything that has gone on for both the King and Kate. Are you feeling that too?
Yeah, it does feel like I am not able to see past even like this is weird. I don't know if you feel this way, but even like the election, like you mentioned earlier coming up, like I just don't know if I'm able to like really, it all feels like there's sort of a blackout after that moment because I'm just very nervous about what's to come. So yeah, I get that with this, with the Royals too. Like I can't even picture Kate back to work at all.
I know. And just, yeah, the regular calendar, like what it doesn't, nothing feels status quo at this point. We did also get a couple of tidbits and sightings over the break, which is George and William popping up at an Aston Villa game. That was really great to see. I think just a father-son moment of them out just being joyful and having a good time doing something that they both share as a passion. Also, this was not a photo, but we read that William was spotted at a pub in Norfolk with Carol Middleton, his mother-in-law. I just think that that is maybe a union we need to see more of and sort of that relationship, what guidance she can give during this time. We know she's been just by Kate's side and supposedly joined the family for Easter as well.
Yeah, I feel like someone needs to write a story on the strength of Granny Carol throughout all of this.
Yes,
she's absolutely. Really seems to be the backbone of a lot of things going on.
Yeah. Do you have any expectations from him this week, Roberta? Like, what are you hoping to see? I mean, I feel like it's going to be a very limited return of William. You know, I think he is very much deserving of that kind of work break and just space as he navigates what's going on with his family and his dad and all of this stuff. But I'm curious, you know, do you think we'll see him commenting on Kate's health at all or any of that?
I mean, we do, like, at the BAFTAs this year, earlier this year, we do get, like, little snippets, like, one word about how, like, you know, she's doing well or she's really thankful for all of the well wishes. So I do hope we hear from him on that. And also just him bringing his A game and enthusiasm for the job that, you know, after a month off, I feel like he probably is ready to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot to look forward to. And I really can't wait to see what plays out in the coming days.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
All right, before we adjourn the Royal Pod, our highs and lows, my low is, it's not really a low, but it's just interesting. So Samantha Cohen, who was an aide to the Queen for 17 years, broke her silence. She spoke to the Herald Sun, which is an Australian outlet. She's actually Australian. Her nickname when she was working at the time was Samantha the Panther because she was very tough. She actually had to kick out a celebrity from a party one time is what the... Or disinvited a celebrity, something like that. So she's tough as nails and helped with supposedly security training for Kate and Meghan, although I feel like that was debunked. But Samantha Cohen, the Herald Sun interview, she says, I love this. This isn't the low. She says that the Queen liked when things went wrong because it spiced up her life, which was really funny to me because I guess at 90 some odd years, you do get a little bored of everything just going as planned. So Sam said, if a cake was not cutting, a plaque didn't unveil, everything was so perfectly organized, it spiced up her life when things went wrong. I love that the Queen got a kick out of that. My low is just that she also said that Harry and Meghan's replacement for herself. So the person that was hired. So she ended up going on to work for Harry and Meghan for 18 months. It was a short stint. She wanted to quit after 6 months, but they couldn't find anyone for another year, which was really interesting. This is from her point of view. The person they hired after her actually quit during that Africa tour that Harry and Meghan on. And we know how hard that was for the Sussexes. That tour in particular was when, you know, Meghan spoke to Tom Bradby on camera and got visibly upset. There was a fire in Archie's nursery. They brought him along and there was an incident. So just like really hard to know also that someone left behind the scenes during that tour. It just must have been so much. But yeah, that's the low part of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a long one.
No, it's really interesting. And I was going to say, I do feel like on the eve of what would have been Queen Elizabeth's birthday, I do feel like we're seeing a lot more headlines about the Queen and details about her life, which is fun and interesting. I was going to say, my low is related to Liz Truss, who has a memoir coming out, and she shared revelations about the Queen's final days, and in particular, that meeting 2 days before she passed away and how she was late to meet the Queen, apparently, because of intense fog, but also how the Queen made an effort to be standing to welcome her and gave no hint of discomfort when they chatted. She talked to Liz about the difficulties of being a woman in politics and how occupying 10 Downing will absolutely age her. But Liz basically said that the Queen was sharp and up to speed on events and joking and invited Liz's husband in even at the end to join the chat. And they talked about their daughters and the Queen teased them about their living quarters at Downing Street. I think just the through line of reading these revelations from Liz's memoir that have been making headlines is just that Liz was shocked when everything took such a dramatic turn a couple days later. And her note in her memoir is why me, why now? Because she obviously had to shoulder making this big speech about someone that had been such a huge part of the fabric of London, but also the world for 7 decades. And I don't know. I think it just made me think back to our total shock, even when we knew it was coming. I think, you know, we knew she was of old age, but it was still hard to process.
Yeah, definitely.
Two long lows. Sorry.
We needed all the context for both of these. My high this week is happy birthday, James Middleton. He turned 37 on Monday. And that snap he posted with Inigo, I mean, be still my heart. They're wearing matching berets. It's such a sweet photo. His first as a father, which is really special. So happy birthday.
I just loved your reaction to it. You were just like, this is it. This made my whole week. My high is news that there's going to be another auction of Diana's dresses, shoes, suits, and accessories on June 27th in LA. Julian's Auctions is hosting this, and it's supposed to be on par with the Christie's sale from 1997. That's wow. How much is there. I included some links, Roberta, for you to check out, but this pink floral dress that she wore to a school drop-off with Harry, that's by Catherine Walker, also a two-piece yellow and navy suit that is so striking, also by Catherine Walker. I think there's some controversy over, do people care about this dress, this star gown that Diana wore to this Phantom of the Opera premiere?
Oh, I love that one.
But people are saying it was so bold, and Diana was really struggling to work out her 80s aesthetic. You know, I think some of the feedback is that not all of her 80s looks were iconic, but she was figuring out her vibe and what.
Think it matters. It's Diana.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Exactly. Exactly. But a portion of the proceeds will benefit Muscular Dystrophy UK. And I guess I wish we lived in LA. This seems so exciting.
This is so exciting. I do love that dress with the pink gloves. That's a winner for me.
You need it.
Just a reminder before we close, please leave us a royal rating. We would love a 5-star review. This week, this person writes, I look forward to your episodes every Thursday. Ooh, short and sweet, but that is very kind. Thank you so much.
All we need to hear.
Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and send us a note, info@gallerypodcasts.com. Until next week.
God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.